Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Friday on this 30th day of June, 2023. I am thrilled to have back as a returning guest Tom Buck, who is senior pastor at First Baptist Church of Lindale, Texas, and board member of the board of directors at G3 Ministries. And during the majority of today's program, we are going to be discussing Tom's personal experiences with the Southern Baptist Convention. He has to leave our program a half hour early. So during the final portion of our program, we will be joined by an old friend of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you listened to the program starting in 2015, when we relaunched after relocating to Carlisle, Pennsylvania, you will remember the name Buzz Taylor, who was frequently a co-host on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, right in the studio with me. Well, he is going to be giving an update on his life and discussing a new book that is nearly complete and ready to go to print called God's Lawsuit. So make sure you stay tuned to the tail end of the program so that we can hear Buzz Taylor with you. And anybody who would like to ask a question of either Tom Buck or Buzz Taylor can send your questions to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. But first of all, let me welcome you back, my dear friend Tom Buck.
Thank you, Chris. It's great to be with you always. Thank you for having me back.
Oh, it's great to have you back. And why don't you remind our listeners or inform them for the first time if they haven't heard you on the program yet, something about First Baptist Church of Lindale, Texas.
Well, we're located in East Texas, about an hour and a half east of Dallas. And I've been the senior pastor here for 17 years now. It's hard to believe it's been that long, but it is. And thankful for the ministry that we have here. We'll talk, I'm sure, about Southern Baptist, but we've been a Southern Baptist church for many years, and I think our church started about 1876, so a long history.
Wow.
Church.
Well, if anybody would like more information about First Baptist Church of Lindale, Texas, go to fbclindale.com, FBC for First Baptist Church, and Lindale is spelled LINDALE.com, fbclindale.com. You're also a member of the board of directors for G3 Ministries. Why don't you briefly tell us about G3 Ministries and the upcoming conference that I am excited to once again attend and be manning an exhibitor's booth for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio?
I am on the board at G3 Ministries. I have been on the board since They became a ministry apart from conference. They began as a conference, and we have a conference every other year now. It used to be annually. After 10 years, it moved to being an every other year conference. This year, we're going to be having the conference in Atlanta, September 21st through the 23rd, on the topic of the sovereignty of God. Great lineup of speakers that are there. I'm not speaking in the main sessions, but I will be doing a breakout session there. I also oversee the expository preaching workshops that we have with G3, where we help men, particularly pastors. We're trying to help develop their exegetical skills and better handle God's word in the pulpit. And then this summer, we began a workshop for women. That's an expository teaching workshop, so not a preaching, obviously, workshop, but one to help women in developing their handling of the Word of God as well, for teaching older women, teaching younger women, and teaching children, and being used of God in the life of the local church in those ways. So G3 is expanding greatly. We've got G3 Press that is printing books that help the local church, and that's our desire, to educate, to equip, to encourage the local church. That's what we're all about, and we're trying to do everything we can to do that.
Yes, and the upcoming conference is on the theme, The Sovereignty of God. It will be held September 21st through the 23rd, which is a Thursday through Saturday, in Atlanta, Georgia. And the huge lineup includes such powerful speakers as Vody Balcom, Stephen Lawson, Paul Washer, Phil Johnson, who's the executive director of John MacArthur's Grace to You media ministry, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, Justin Peters, Ken Ham, and there is a very long list that continues after that. And my friend who's my guest today, Tom Buck, is also doing a breakout section. So why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, we don't always keep the breakout sessions strictly along the line of sovereignty of God. We have or whatever the theme of the conference is, but they've asked me to talk specifically about expository preaching and how we make proper biblical connections to Christ. So there is, I'll be examining the Christocentric view of interpretation of Scripture and evaluating whether that is a legitimate approach to sound expository preaching. So that's what I'm going to be dealing with.
Well, if anybody wants to register for the G3 conference, and I strongly urge that you do, it is, and I'm not exaggerating, my very favorite of all conferences that I attend. The times that I have been there manning my exhibitor's booth for Iron Trip and Zion Radio have without question been the most fruitful experiences. And I just really look forward to every time I have the opportunity to return. And if you would like to join me there, go to g3min.org, g3min.org. And for a 30% discount off the registration fee, all you have to do is enter the promo code for Iron Sharp and Zion Radio, which is G3ISIR, G3ISIR, and you will get 30% off the registration fee, and you will be hearing our mutual friend, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministry, in commercials throughout this program, reminding you of that information. Well, the Southern Baptist Convention has never been a stranger to controversy. At one time, as you know very well yourself, Tom, it was nearly completely engulfed by leftism, liberalism, and by God's mercy, there was a 180-degree shift in the theological emphasis of the Southern Baptist Convention and the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and so on. And even though that was something with which many who are Bible-believing Christians, especially if they are members of the Southern Baptist Convention, many were rejoicing from the rooftops over that, the controversies haven't disappeared. And I want you to basically tell us about your experiences with the Southern Baptist Convention. Perhaps you might want to start with something positive, but then please tell us about some recent events that have troubled the hearts, not only of you and your wife, but of people who know and love you and respect you and highly value you and your ministry.
Well, I've been a Southern Baptist my entire life. Was raised in Southern Baptist Church, came to know Christ in Southern Baptist Church. I was going to seminary and Bible college at the time that the conservative resurgence began to be coming on the horizon, and the problems in the schools at that time. So I didn't go to Southern Baptist Bible college or seminary, mainly because I didn't want to engulf myself in those type of theological controversies. I just wanted to go get trained well in the Word of God. When I came out of seminary in 1993, Al Mohler was just then becoming president of Southern. And that really was what prompted me to stay in the convention. I was making a decision whether I would. I had never been a member of a church other than Southern Baptist, but as I began my ministry, which began actually in 94 after I graduated in 93, I made the decision that I wanted to stay in the Southern Baptist Convention because there's so much good that has been done with the International Mission Board, the seminaries that were turning in a good direction. And it's really only been for me in the last, oh, probably 6-7 years that I have seen things that have just been really disturbing to me. I began to see that there were issues, particularly what I've called a drift, others have called a drift as well, regarding the role of women in the church. And then, of course, one of the big issues was the infiltration of the concepts of critical race theory that began to infiltrate the Southern Baptist Convention long before 2019. But in 2019, it surfaced in what's become known as Resolution 9, which was pretty much advocating for the positive things of critical race theory and intersectionality, saying that scripture still is supreme, but that ideology can help us in understanding what's going on in our world today. And Tom Askell and I began then speaking out against that. We were deeply concerned about what was going on within the convention regarding those things. And so here we are today, several years later. Last year, the convention would not deal with Saddleback, even saying that they wanted to form a committee to a task force to determine what is the word pastor mean, quote unquote. 1 year later, for whatever reason, a year ago we couldn't define what a pastor is, and this year they did remove Saddleback and remove another church that had one other church that had a woman pastor that was near a Southern Seminary in Louisville, and she's been pastoring there for 31 years. But all of a sudden, they decided to deal with that. Not exactly sure. I have some theories about that we could maybe talk. But I feel that what we have is a disconnect between the local Southern Baptist Church and the leadership of the convention. And I believe there has been a drift. I believe there continues to be a drift. And I think that they're scrambling to try to figure out how to patch this great chasm that exists between the local Southern Baptist Church and the institutions.
So you and your wife actually had unfortunate run-ins, if you will, or reactions from key figures in the Southern Baptist Convention, and they have troubled your friends. Can you tell us something about that?
Yeah, so most people know that I've been vocal about the problems in the SBC, again, somewhere around 2018, 2017, somewhere in that time frame, vocal, sharing my concerns about the drift that's taking place. And in 2021, I guess it actually was 2022. I had reached out to a the person who was the presidential candidate at the time, one of the presidential candidates, Willie Rice. And when I reached out to Willie Rice initially, Tom Askell wasn't even running. They've said I did it as a political hit job on Willie, but I didn't even know that Tom was running when I reached out to Willie initially. And the reason I reached out to him is he had a individual in his church who I knew, who was a deacon in his church and had about 15 years earlier, when he was a teacher in a high school at a public school, had been involved sexually with one of his students. And so I felt, having that knowledge, that I needed to go privately to Willie Rice to have that conversation. I was concerned about the fact that the convention had been engulfed in these type of problems regarding how we have handled issues of sexual abuse. And when I reached out to the individual that I knew, he told me that Willie Rice knew. When I reached out to Willie Rice, he told me that initially that he wasn't aware of what I was talking about. And so we set up a conference call. It was private between me and two of my elders, Willie and one of his staff members. And I shared with him my concerns. He then told me that he did know about the situation and that he would address it. Of course, it was an hour phone call, much longer than just that brief quip. But within 32 hours of me calling Willie Rice about this, a rough draft that my wife Jennifer had written back in 2018 that talked about our early years of struggle in our marriage, that God gloriously redeemed through the gospel and transformed us, got leaked to the media. We were unaware when it initially was leaked. We became aware several days later, but there's, it's pretty much, just absolutely unthinkable that it wasn't released directly in relation to me calling Willie Rice. Right. So that's what happened.
Now, when you say leaked into the media, are you talking about the secular media in Lyndale, Texas, or beyond?
No, we're talking about Baptist News Global for certain that it was leaked to them. And it was clearly leaked to be a smear piece. I think they thought that we had never talked about the problems in our early marriage. I think they thought that, hey, we'll show that Tom had patterns of abuse, quote unquote, in his own life, and that disqualifies him. I think they were wanting to disqualify me in some way because I had come forward and said something to Willie. I never threatened him. I told him I wasn't going to go public with it, but I think they were fearful that I would, they not being Willie, but they being other people in the SBC. And the thing that made it damaging to my wife was not that our story of our struggles in marriage, because we had told that our entire ministry. But my wife had included in that rough draft that had not been seen we didn't know it was even out there, other than one person that Jennifer had given it to. It included private information about abuse that happened to Jennifer when she was a child that she had never told anyone about publicly, and abuse that had happened in my life before I met Jennifer that I had not told anyone about publicly. And so it put us in a very awkward situation of what do we tell about this, what is in the story? Because people began to wonder, what are they trying to hide? What is it they want to hide from people knowing? It wasn't the struggles of our marriage. It was that very private information.
So what was it about this individual whom it came to your knowledge was having an unbiblical sexual relationship? What was it about this person that was so valuable that this information would be leaked out in order to defame you, to somehow counteract the information that was public about the individual that you approached?
Yeah, I don't think it was something special about the person who had the what, for lack of a better term, sordid past. It was the me going to the individual Willie who was running for as the presidential candidate. And I think the powers that be in the SBC saw me as acting politically to try to get Tom Askell to destroy Willie so Tom Askell could be elected again. When I first contacted Willie, I didn't even know that Tom Askell was running. He didn't tell me. I found out that he was running when he told everybody else. That wasn't true. I wasn't acting politically. I think they thought that I was out to destroy him, Willie Rice, and destroy his candidacy, which was not true. So whoever was behind this decided that they would preemptively strike and try to destroy me first. And that's the only thing that makes sense with it going 32 hours later to the Baptist media.
Now, if you could, I mean, anything that you feel comfortable saying, since it has already been made public, what was it that was leaked about the article that your wife had written talking about how your marriage had victory over this problem, or problems plural, and has brought you to a place where God has mightily used both of you and blessed not only your enjoyment of your marriage, but the usefulness of your marriage, your marriage being used as a ministry to others, in addition to being a wonderful oasis for the both of you to retreat to. Tell us, what was it, as much as you care to, that was attempted to vilify you or scandalize you?
Real quickly, Kuiper Productions did a documentary. They can find it on my pinned tweet on Twitter. If they go find me on Twitter, which is just at Tom Buck, they will see that there was a 4-part documentary there that explains everything that occurred. So if they want to get the in-depth behind the scenes look of everything that happened, of me going to Willie and it being released and everything. But essentially what Jennifer had done is she had, back in 2018, she talked with me and said, "Tom, you know, it might be good for us to share our story publicly of what happened in our marriage early on. We've been married 36 years now, so it would have been the first 4 or 5 years of our marriage. By the fifth year, God had restored everything. And the Me Too movement was hot at the time, the Church Too movement. And what Jennifer felt was is that they were just writing off people, that telling people, you know, if you have any type of trouble in your marriage, if there's verbal abuse or whatever it may be, just there's no hope for that. There was no gospel hope being given. And Jennifer said, "I think it might be good for us to tell our story publicly." We'd already told it in our church back in Florida and then in Texas whenever it was appropriate, which if I'm preaching through Ephesians 5 or talking about marriage, I would talk about it very openly from the pulpit. So what happened early in our marriage is I just didn't know how to be a godly husband. I was going to school. We were in seminary even at the time. I was verbally abusive, the language would be today, to my wife. There was even emotional stress that caused on her because of that. And then we've told this over and over again, and she put it in her story as well about this instance where, you know, she playfully put a Coke can on the back of my neck and it angered me. And I turned around and grabbed her hand and I slapped her wrist like you would a child and said, "Don't you ever do that." And it was in that moment that both of us, as we looked at each other, knew I needed to get help with anger issues that were in my heart and in my life. And right shortly after that, there were some other things that occurred, not problems with us, but just other circumstances that of other people helping us say, "Hey, yeah, this is how you need to get help." We began counseling. I went to counseling. We went together. And Jennifer had a woman in her life who had been pouring into her by the name of Dottie, and her husband, Bob, was who ended up counseling us. And God took our marriage that was really at the brink of divorce, to be honest with you. I think it would have ended in that had God not turned things around. And God restored our marriage through the power of the gospel. And so Jennifer wanted to tell that. And so in telling it, she wanted to communicate to the survivor community, if you will, that she knew what she was talking about, that I knew what I was, this was not some small thing. And so she was deciding about whether she needed to come reveal her abuse and her past. And she wanted to also decide for us together of whether it would be important for people to understand the abuse that I'd experienced that had been kind of the fuel to a lot of the anger that I was experiencing in my life. So it's like, hey, we weren't just, you know, Tom wasn't just a monster and she wasn't someone who didn't have her own issues, but we were two sinners married together who had a lot of baggage in her past who were trying to work through those things. And so she had written this rough draft in a very just tell it all type of thing, and then had reached out to someone, I with her, to say, can you help us, give us some feedback to know how we take all of this stuff and what we need to make public? How do we do this for public consumption? So it wasn't ready for public consumption. It was very raw. As you know, rough draft isn't ready to go be printed. It needs to be sifted through and determined. And so there was a lot of very personal, raw data that was in that. It's all public now, to one degree or another. But that's how they decided that they would take that information and use my wife and weaponize her story as a means by which to attack us politically in the SBC.
So tell us how this leaking of this information has harmed you in any way, and tell us something about perhaps your sense of betrayal and how you get through that and over it, and not hold sinful bitterness about it, and so on.
It was extremely devastating, more to my wife than anything else. I mean, I've been attacked in the SBC before. I've had political things done against me before, but I've never had my wife used against me, and I've never had them willing to tamper with a marriage and potentially cause destruction in someone's ministry and try to make it look like that, you know, I'm not fit to serve as a pastor. I mean, it was the most direct assault that we've ever experienced in our ministry, ever.
Wow.
The most satanic assault that we've ever experienced in our ministry. Again, that documentary will spell out a lot of it for you. But my wife felt exposed. She felt betrayed. We had gone to the person that we'd went to was Karen Pryor, who was a professor, is now a professor at Southeastern, or was at least until recently. And at the time she was at Liberty University, we considered her to be a friend. And something happened. She's not the one who leaked it to the media, we don't believe. But we certainly do believe that she shared it, leaked it to one degree or another once she went to Southeastern, because the video shows how Keith Whitfield, who was the provost at Southeastern, still is on staff at Southeastern, was the one who was approached, asked Karen to authenticate it so it could, Jennifer's rough draft, so it could be published. So they knew that Karen Pryor had it. They knew who to go to get it authenticated. And so we felt betrayed. Then when we went to Southeastern and asked for help, they were not willing to help us. And they chose to protect their people rather than helping my wife. And even when she wrote and appealed to meet with them, they refused to meet with her in person.
Well, we have to go to our first commercial break. And if anybody has a question, please submit it to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least your city and state and your country of residence. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you have experienced something similar to my guest, Tom Buck, and you don't want to identify yourself. We can understand that. But if it's a general question, please give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. We'll be right back with Tom Buck right after these messages from our sponsors.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday, the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnzen and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, RoyalDiadem.com is still offering Iron Sharpens Iron Radio this amazing, mind-blowing deal. They are going to give Iron Sharpens Iron Radio 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry valued at $100 or more that an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener purchases at RoyalDiadem.com just by mentioning Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when you make your purchase, whether you are purchasing some piece of jewelry that they already have in stock at RoyalDiadem.com valued at $100 or more, or if you're getting a customized piece of jewelry created, like an engagement ring, like taking your church logo, your parachurch ministry logo, your seminary logo, your denomination logo, and turning it into a pendant for a necklace or a ring or other piece of jewelry, or whatever else your imagination and creativity can conjure up. They will take what's in your brain and turn it into a stunning, magnificent, breathtaking, mind-blowing piece of jewelry. I've seen firsthand the mastery that they have over customizing jewelry. So please, if you have any intention to purchase jewelry for yourself or someone you love, go to RoyalDiadem.com soon, because we have no idea when they're going to shut down this offer to us where we receive 100% of the profits from that sale. So go to RoyalDiadem.com and mention Chris Aronson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We're now back with Tom Buck, senior pastor of First Baptist Church of Lindell, Texas, and member of the board of directors for G3 Ministries. We are talking about his personal experiences with the Southern Baptist Convention. And our email address is chrisaronson@gmail.com, chrisaronson@gmail.com. And before we go to any listener questions, Tom, has this leaking of this information had any long-lasting damaging effects to you, your ministry, and your church, other than perhaps your own feelings of betrayal and that of your wife as well, her feeling betrayed by people that she thought were friends and that kind of a thing, where you once loved and enjoyed the friendship and fellowship with people who turned on you and stabbed you in the back?
I guess probably the biggest long-lasting effect is that the lies that have been perpetuated by what they've done continue to be out there. So Jennifer and I are even contemplating about, you know, just totally disengaging and getting off of any type of social media stuff, because there's barely a week that goes by that she doesn't get said something to her derogatory, or me, something said about me being a wife abuser, even using the term wife beater, not qualified for ministry, just all kinds of things. So it has been damaging in that way. I mean, the people that know us best know that these things aren't true. But on the flip side of the good, what God has done in it is, and how we, you know, we've continued to ask the Lord not to allow for a root of bitterness to spring to take root in our hearts, and God has continued to be gracious with us to help us battle that type of thing. But we've also had plenty of people that have come forward that have now heard our story, have taken the time to listen to it. And we've had women come to Jennifer and men come to me and husbands and wives come to us together saying that they too have experienced that and have felt the hope to come out and say, if it's possible for God to change you all, it's possible for God to change us. So it's actually opened up doors and opportunities for ministry to help marriages that have been struggling. So God, what they meant for evil, God has used for good.
Well, praise God for that. Let's see here. We have a listener question. We have Seth in Hummelstown, Pennsylvania. Greetings, Chris and Tom. What is G3 Ministries' relationship to and stance on the Southern Baptist Convention?
Well, G3 Ministries doesn't really have a relationship at all, does not have a relationship at all with Southern Baptist Convention. Josh Bice, who is the founder and president of G3 Ministries, used to pastor a church that was Southern Baptist, but they left a couple of years ago because they were so dismayed with the direction of the Southern Baptist Convention. So it's never had any official ties, only those unofficial ties. As far as its stance on the Southern Baptist Convention, I would say it probably really doesn't have a stance because they don't have a dog in that fight, so to speak. G3 is clearly about promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ, the glory of God, the gospel of God. That's what we're about. And so G3 does not want to get itself engulfed in the politics of the SBC. And I think that Josh is more than happy not having to wake up worried about that any day of the week. He's just getting about good gospel-centered ministry. I will say this, if there are those who are looking for a home, who are leaving the Southern Baptist Convention and looking for a home to be and partnerships to have and getting busy about doing good gospel-centered ministry, G3 is the place for you. And what I love about it when I go to the G3 convention, when I go to the Southern Baptist Convention, I feel like I'm out of place. People, it's not my people. I hate to say that, but it's just the case of it. But when I go to G3, I feel like I'm going home. Because it's a place where we are theologically in agreement. We don't agree on every single issue, but the issues that matter, there's unified agreement across the board. And so that's probably the best way I could put it.
Well, to get further clarification, does G3 permit vendors that specifically promote Southern Baptist institutions like the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville and other seminaries, colleges, and so on, where they once did, I'm almost certain, when I used to go there, perhaps when I first started attending the G3, it's possible that Josh was still in the Southern Baptist Convention. But as far as things like that, and even the G3 Church Directory, do they allow churches to be members of the Southern Baptist Convention still because of the serious disagreements they've had with conclusions and decisions by the SBC?
Well, the G3 network is what you're alluding to, and the churches belonging to that, and we want churches to join the G3 network, which is like-minded churches that want to partner together in ministry and receive all kinds of resources from G3. We do ask them to be, every church that's a part of the G3 network, to be in agreement with the 1689 London Baptist Confession. If they have any areas that they disagree with, to spell that out. And because, you know, you're not going to necessarily have someone that dots every I and crosses every T the same. But that's a general starting point. So there are many that may, I don't know how many there are, but I know there's quite a few. I'll put it that way. I know there's quite a few churches that are affiliated with the Southern Baptist Convention who are also a part of the G3 network. So you do not have to leave the SBC to be a part of the G3 network. Now, as far as the conference goes, I don't want to speak out of turn, but I'm pretty sure that there are not any vendors from Southern Baptist seminaries or colleges that are having tables at the G3 conference. So I don't want to speak out of turn. I don't know that there's a policy against that, But I certainly would think it would be uncomfortable for both the seminaries, SBC seminaries and G3. There's no like-mindedness there. So I doubt that would take place.
We have an anonymous listener who says, I have quite a number of friends in pastoral ministry who are in Southern Baptist Convention churches, even some who recently joined the SBC. Should I approach them and tell them to seriously pray about leaving that group?
I don't know that I would say to tell them to pray about leaving, but I would say they at least need to encourage people to get informed, to know what's going on. A local congregation has to make a decision on what their affiliation, if any, is going to be with the Southern Baptist Convention. And of course, being affiliated with the convention just simply means that you give a dollar to any of the entities. If you gave a dollar to the IMB, you can seat at least two messengers at the annual meeting. It's not truly a denomination in the truest sense. It's a cooperation of churches that come together to seek to do missions together. So they don't have any governance over us. But I want to be a part of a group of churches that I feel like that I can embrace enough to give to and cooperate with them as much of a level that I can. And that is decreasing by the day, by the minute at times. So I think churches, the bad thing is churches that don't get informed. You shouldn't give your money to anybody if you don't know it, that there are potential problems. And there's plenty of places that you can go. You can go to Founders Ministries and see what the issues are and getting people educated in what's going on.
We have another anonymous listener who says, I recently saw a video by Justin Peters, who I know is greatly loved by the host of this program, Chris Arnzen. And he based his video on why he believes Saddleback should be reinstated to the Southern Baptist Convention. I know that he meant that somewhat tongue-in-cheek because of the fact of there being women ordained into ministry in a rampant sense within the Southern Baptist Convention anyway. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I saw Justin's video. What he was basically arguing was that it's hypocritical for the Southern Baptist Convention to vote out Saddleback while they allow for other churches that have women pastors to stay in. So he was essentially saying either reinstate Saddleback and keep them in the Southern Baptist Convention or deal with everything. Don't use Saddleback as window dressing.
Right. By the way, both of our anonymous questioners, if you are first-time questioners, let me know because you have won a free New American Standard Bible, as all first-time questioners in our audience do. And if you're wondering what that beeping is, I believe my guest is getting a lot of texts right now.
Yeah, I'm trying to tell people to stop.
Or just silence it. That's fine. Let's see. We have Christian in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania. Christian says, do you believe there is anything positive taking place in the Southern Baptist Convention that would give one reason to be optimistic that there could be, within a reasonably near future, a turnaround and great improvement made?
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's one of those things that's so hard to know. Let me just say it this way. I had a professor in seminary when the conservative resurgence was taking place, Dr. John Hanna, who was a historical theology professor at DTS. He told us that, you know, the convention may turn back in a negative direction again. And he said if it does, don't be the first rat off the ship, but don't ship, but don't be the last rat off the ship. And so, when do you get, you know, if you do need to disengage, when is that? I mean, there are some good things. I'm very thankful for many of the things that I see Paul Chitwood doing, who is over the IMB. He has personally assured me privately, he's personally assured the convention publicly, that he's not going to allow women, for example, to serve or function in the role of pastor on the mission field. So that's a good thing. I'm thankful that Southern Baptist Theological Seminary has taken a stand regarding Saddleback and regarding the issue of stopping women pastors from growing and stopping them from being able to be in the convention. So there are a lot of things there to be thankful for. I think probably the biggest thing is there's so many good local churches that are Southern Baptist. You know, Southern Baptists that I know that are just rank and file Southern Baptists are conservative. The disconnect is between the leadership, much of the leadership, and the local church. So Tom Maskell is much more positive than I am right now. If you want to get a really good someone to tell you this is why you should stay in, Tom Maskell's the guy to ask. I'm still conflicted, and I want to be honest that I don't know how much of that is because of the personal pain that Jennifer and I've been through this past year. So I just, you know, I want to be, you know, forthright and say that there is a lot of pain that Jennifer and I bear from what's taken place. So I believe there are good things. I'm just not sure that it's good enough to try to preserve everything and stay in. But each church will have to decide that.
Robert in Westchester County, New York asks, are there things that you believe biblically sound conservative churches that are complementarian in their view of leadership and perhaps even patriarchal are missing out when it comes to what women can biblically do legitimately in the church? Are there things that they are wrongly being prevented from doing, in your opinion?
Well, I mean, I don't know personally know of anything. So let me just tell you what happens in our church. And I would say that anything that is preventing, or where they're preventing women to do things that our church would say women are definitely qualified to do. If a church is saying that women can just serve in the nursery and can just teach children, that would be problematic to me. There's many things that women can do. What we see in 1 Timothy 2:12 is a woman is not to teach men or exercise authority over men. So we don't have women serving in the role of pastor elder. We don't have women serving in spiritually authoritative roles in the church. But we have women that teach other women. We have women that the older women teaching the younger women. We have women that serve on various committees in our church. We value the voice of women. I value the voice of my wife. I learn from women as well in an everyday ongoing just brother-sister discipleship relationships that we have in the church. If a church is silencing the voice of women altogether, that definitely is problematic. We have women that serve in our worship service ushering, you know, even in our offering time and things of that nature. I've had people, you know, from the outside say that women shouldn't do that. I don't see where that's prohibited in Scripture. So if churches are doing that, that's problematic. But there is not any type of a movement that I'm aware of at all in our convention or of churches that are like-minded Baptist churches where they're trying to squash the voice of women. G3 just had a workshop where women came in and learned from the Scriptures. And there were Becky Annuals, Scott Annuals' wife, and Carrie Bice, Josh Bice's wife, both had a time where they taught a passage of Scripture to the women that were there to encourage them. So if there are churches that are shutting out the voice of women, I'm sure they exist. I'm just not personally aware of them.
Well, we have to go to our midway break. Please stay tuned because we're going to conclude our discussion with Tom Buck around 5:30 p.m. Eastern time. And so please stick around. And if you have a question, send it immediately to chrisarnson@gmail.com, since he is leaving early. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We're going to be back with Tom Buck right after these messages.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday, the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnson and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnson is doing is Daniel P. Potofuco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Butterfuco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a longtime partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylors, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth Love Parent and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please always make solid-ground-books.com your very first stop for all your gift-giving needs. They bring back into print and also publish for the very first time nothing but the finest in Christian literature dating back as far away as the 16th century Protestant Reformation and also extending forward as currently as such modern-day authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So visit solid-ground-books.com frequently, purchase generously. Always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my guest, Tom Buck, I have some very important announcements to make. If you love this show, folks, and you do not want it to disappear from the airwaves, I'm urging you, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit card or credit card in that fashion. You could also, if you prefer snail mail, the old-fashioned way, sending a physical check to a physical address, there will also be a physical mailing address that appears on your screen where you can send your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, your parachurch ministry, your business, your private practice like a law firm, a medical firm, or it's just a special event perhaps that you want to promote, whatever it is, as long as it's compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign as quickly as possible, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So go to send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. I want to remind you, please, when you're donating to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, never give your own church where you're a member less money than you're accustomed to giving your church on the Lord's Day in order to give us a financial gift. In other words, don't cut into the money that you have set aside for your own church for your Lord's Day giving in order to bless us financially. Never do that. Also, if you are really struggling personally, financially, and really have a mountain of bills that are unpaid on your kitchen table, wait until you are more financially stable and back on your feet before you send us a financial gift. There are two things that are clear in the Bible about finances, is that we are commanded to provide for our church and our family. Providing for this radio show is obviously not a command of God. But if you love the show and don't want it to disappear, and you do have extra money above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, you have extra money collecting interest in the bank for recreational, for personal and trivial matters, and benevolent matters, well, please give us some of that money if you want us to stick around. So go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. I want to remind you, folks, please mark on your calendars the 3 days, the weekend before the G3 conference, September 15th, 16th, and 17th, which is a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries will be speaking at a conference that I am arranging with Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society. And the conference will be held in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. We will give you updates on the exact location as we have them available. And you can go to futureofchristendom.org, futureofchristendom.org for those updates. And you can also go to mid-atlanticreformation.org. MidAtlanticReformation.org, and IronSharpensIronRadio.com, IronSharpensIronRadio.com, and we will have updates posted as we have them available. Finally, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, doctrinally sound, theologically solid church like First Baptist Church of Lyndale, Texas, well, no matter where you live on the planet Earth, we have extensive lists spanning the globe, and we may be able to help you find a church anywhere in the world. Sometimes, even within just a couple of minutes from where you live, as we have done many times with people all over the world in our audience. So if you are in that predicament of not having a theologically sound church, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you could send in a question to Tom Buck. That is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. And Tom, you are a man of great experience and gifts. Any books on the fire that you are in the process of writing that may be available in print at some point in the near future?
Well, I am actually a little bit behind on getting a proposal for a book. I'm hoping to write something on woke hermeneutics, which is looking at how critical race theory and intersectionality is infecting our interpretation of scripture. That's whether it be looking at books like Reading While Black, looking at where it interprets the scriptures according through a racial lens. There are various lenses that are used to interpret scripture that I think are dangerous right now. So that's kind of the project that I'm working on.
Now, when it comes to the Southern Baptist Convention's admiration for things involving critical race theory as being helpful tools, do you think that the individuals who have been involved in promoting these things, even if they don't necessarily adopt the philosophy for themselves and their churches, but as being helpful tools in some way, do you think that they really believe that? Are they ignorant of the Marxist worldview that is unmistakably present and saturated in the whole ideology of this movement? Or are they doing it perhaps out of, I mean, I can't ask you to be a prophet or a mind reader.
Right.
But perhaps you even know firsthand that there are people promoting these things just out of fear of a backlash.
I certainly think there are people that are promoting it because of a fear of a backlash. They're responding to everything that's going on in our culture. They don't want to be called a racist. They have some level, some of them, from what I have seen, what's called white guilt, where they feel like that, you know, they need to buy into this concept of white supremacy. But, you know, I think there are probably some players that know exactly what's going on and don't have a problem with mixing the ideologies of Marxism and other things. There are those who are just ignorant of the issues, and they're responding to it out of sympathy because they hear the stories of brothers or sisters in Christ that feel like that they're being oppressed in the culture that we're in. But the problem is they're not understanding Colossians 2:8 that warns us of being captive, taken captive through philosophy and empty deception. And so much of what's going on in the critical race theory discussion is worldly ideologies that are infiltrating the church. So just take, for example, the Supreme Court's decision just this week regarding the fact that we shouldn't be discriminating. Educational institutions should not be discriminating against people or showing favor, we should say, to people of particular races and admitting them. And Clarence Thomas wrote about the fact that, hey, just because you see that there are disparities that exist among races doesn't mean that it's racism that's driving all those disparities. Yet you have books like Divided by Faith that pushes that very idea being introduced into evangelicalism. And the SBC, there are people within the SBC that have been pushing that for some time. So I don't know what it is, what's driving everything, but I do know this, that we have been taken captive by worldly philosophies, even in the SBC.
And the Southern Baptist Convention and its founding members were clearly, as we all are, sinners. And unfortunately, the Southern Baptist Convention in the 19th century sided with the Confederacy over the issue of slavery. Is it perfectly acceptable and enough for a modern-day office bearer in the Southern Baptist Convention, especially a president, to say we totally disavow ourselves from the past views embraced by our founders in regard to race and slavery, and that should be sufficient? Or must there be more ongoing actions and statements of repentance, as if the current day office bearers themselves need to repent of believing and acting upon those previously held sinful views? That's basically what the woke movement wants us to do. And I don't think that they will ever be satisfied, no matter how many times he makes statements of repentance. They don't seem to be particularly concerned with that at all. They want you to be forever labeled as a guilty racist. But is it enough to just say we disavow of our past in that regard? Obviously not the theology. In fact, one of the reasons, or the very reason, that Tom Askell has named the wonderful ministry that he oversees, the Founders Ministries, is because of the theology of the Founders, which was thoroughly Calvinistic. But as I said, is it enough to just say we're not our great-great-great-great-granddaddy's Southern Baptist Convention in regard to race relations?
Yeah, I think that it's totally appropriate for the convention to, at some time in its history, and it has long ago, acknowledged that there were sinful wrong views regarding the issue of slavery and regarding the issue of race. And that, yes, we disavow that it was unbiblical. It was wrong. It was sinful. There were people that were hurt because of that. There were people that were mistreated because of that. I don't understand why there has to be an ongoing, perpetual repentance of that, as if today anybody holds to that. We have made clear statements against racism. We've made clear statements against what's happened in the past. And we are all sinners, and there are always, I think it was C.S. Lewis called it chronological snobbery, where people look to the past and believe that if they were alive at that time, that they would have no way.
even the left-wing Bill Maher acknowledges that's ridiculous.
Yeah. So I think that our gospel's not one of penance, right? I don't understand why we can't apply the gospel to what we're dealing with. None of these people are alive. It's impossible for us to go back and confront the situation. Had we been alive at the time, many of us may have been blinded because of our own sin to what was going on in the culture of that day. And we need to draw a big line, a gospel line in the sand, and start moving forward to talk about how we address issues today. Because I think that 40 years from now, there are going to be people that look back, or 100 years from now, are going to be people that look back and see the things that we did wrong. Are they going to throw out everything that we've said and everything we've written? But that's what we're dealing with. That's, if we go back to what happened with Jennifer and I in our marriage, they want to go back and say that everything's invalidated in my ministry because of what happened in the first 5 years of our marriage, which was repented of. Hmm. The gospel has to be able to redeem. And if it can't redeem us, what is it we're preaching?
And isn't one of the reasons we must all be vociferously opposed to the woke movement, to the social justice warrior movement, to the critical race theory ideology, isn't one of the primary reasons we must oppose it is because it itself is perpetuating racism? It's just a different target, or different targets. The targets of this new racism are white heterosexual males primarily, but whites in general, and Asians. They're unmistakably targets of racism in this new paradigm.
Absolutely. And you have this big broad brush that if you have white skin and if you're male, you are a part of the oppressive patriarchal culture that has oppressed other people. It doesn't matter if it's actually true about you as an individual. It only matters that you possess that particular type of skin color and gender. That in and of itself is discriminating. That in and of itself goes against what Scripture teaches, that you're not to show partiality. And we're not going to fix or address the sinful partiality of the past by practicing sinful partiality in the present. And they're giving not a biblical way to deal with their cultural problems. They're looking at the unbiblical worldly ideologies to give an answer to these things. And that's why we're in the mess that we're in the church.
Okay. And let's see. We have a listener named Ronald in Eastern Suffolk County, Long Island, New York. And Ronald says, how do we cut through the accusations of racism when we are having a conversation with somebody who has bought into the whole woke terminology, grammar, and philosophy when they bring up that our views are racist to try to shut down the conversation, it seems, in my opinion? How do we bypass that quickly to get to the core of the conversation?
Well, I don't know how you bypass it quickly. I've had a hard time getting quickly through any of these discussions. But I think that if you're going to have a conversation, you've got to establish what's going to be our standard. If the Word of God is our standard, then we both can put ourselves under the authority of the Word of God and have a conversation regarding that. But if we're going to introduce into the conversation things outside of Scripture to be the standard by which we judge these things, you're never going to be able to quickly move past that. So that's why I used a moment ago the biblical view on partiality. Am I showing partiality towards someone? If I'm showing partiality towards the rich or the poor, Scripture says, I'm out of line with God's word. So if the rich are being oppressive to the poor, then the answer is not to show partiality to the poor. It's to practice the equality that we find in Scripture. So I think when you're having a conversation with somebody, you have to ask them, what's your standard? What are you using as the measure of standard? If they refuse to use the Word of God solely as the standard by which we discuss these things, you will never be able to move forward and advance the conversation in a biblical way.
Yes, and we have to remind ourselves that even the poor can be just as guilty of greed and being lovers of money as the rich are. This is the love of money is not isolated to rich people. And that is why you have people who are poor even murdering other people to get their money. you have all kinds of crimes and things happening amongst the poor themselves. In fact, it is interesting that a key person in the parable who punished someone who owed him a debt financially, after that very person was forgiven his debt, that was a poor person, no doubt. That was the key example of a hypocrite who was treating somebody else and their debt toward him in a different way than they wanted to be treated in regard to their debt to somebody else.
I wholeheartedly agree.
And let's see, we have time for one more question. We have CJ in Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York. And CJ says, are you available for Bible conferences, and how far would you travel to participate one, even if the church perhaps is relatively small?
Well, the size has nothing to do with it for me. I have preached at conferences with a church that only has 25, 30 people in it. So that's not, has never been an issue to me. So, yes, I do, but I am trying to be careful about the number of times that I'm away from my church. I'm primarily working with the expository workshops to try to train, men in preaching the word, but they certainly can send a request to me, and I will give it my best consideration and would try to fit that into my schedule down the line, probably 2024, 2025 at this point, because I'm acting on very few requests just because of the time factor, but it would have nothing to do with size.
Now, how would the listener, including CJ, contact you?
Just at tom@fbclindale.com. So tom@fbclindale.com.
Great. Well, it has been such a pleasure, Tom. I know that you have to leave early. Please, folks, don't go away because we have Buzz Taylor joining us after my guest Tom Buck departs. Buzz Taylor is going to be discussing his book, God's Lawsuit. But for more information about First Baptist Church of Lyndale, Texas, go to fbclyndale.com, fbclyndale.com. For more information about the G3 Ministries, where Tom serves on the board of directors, go to g3min.org, g3min.org, and click on events and find out more about the upcoming G3 National Conference on the Sovereignty of God. And don't forget, when you're registering, to use promo code G3ISIR, the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio discount code, so you can receive 30% off the registration fee. Tom, it's always a joy to have you on the program. I look forward to sharing fellowship with you and your lovely wife in Atlanta, Georgia, this September. And please don't be a stranger to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate your ministry.
I appreciate you too, brother. God bless you.
You too.
And don't go away, folks. As I said, Buzz Taylor will be joining us after this commercial break. So please send in your questions to Buzz Taylor at chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give his first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnson, I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnson's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck at First Baptist Church of Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Avinio, and thanks for listening.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please make note, folks, that the website that you just heard for Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, is now obsolete. The new website is gcbc-nj.org, gcbc-nj.org. We are now being joined by my second guest today, my old friend of many years, Buzz Taylor, former frequent co-host of the Iron Sharpens Iron radio program, and we're going to be getting an update on his life and how God is using his gifts, and we'll also be talking about his book that, God willing, will soon be in print, God's Lawsuit. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Buzz Taylor.
Well, thank you very much, Chris. It's wonderful to talk with you again, and especially here on the program. It has been quite a while now.
Yeah.
A number of years. Yeah, I've been out of Pennsylvania now for about 3 years.
And so where are you now? Tell us the exact city and state.
I'm in Fitchburg, Massachusetts, which is up near the New Hampshire border, about halfway across the New Hampshire border, comfortably far from Boston.
And you mean the Soviet Socialist Republic of Boston?
Yes, yes, and traffic, not to mention.
Well, I know that you have been using your gifts recently by preaching from time to time at the church where you are now attending. Tell us about that.
Well, when I first arrived to town, my first thought was, let's find a church that, of course, I looked for a church in my own denomination, which I could not find for like, you know, 40 some minutes away, which I can't do every Sunday. So I decided, well, you know, it's a good chance for me to bloom wherever I'm planted. And I looked out my window of my apartment building and I saw this quaint looking church across the street. And I said, I'm going to go ahead and check them out. And I've been there now for 2 years. And what's really nice about it is, though I am not officially a pastor or anything in the church, the pastor recognizes my background, my giftings, my calling.
And you are an ordained minister. You were.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. And I have plenty of opportunities to take the pulpit. I'm teaching a Bible class through the book of Acts right now, a couple times a month. But the main thing is the pulpit. And I've been able to preach. Oh, in the last 2 years, I've been there probably about a dozen times. And I'm scheduled 3 more times over the summer. So it's keeping me busy between that and the classes.
So if somebody happens to be traveling through your area, or perhaps they already live there, how would they visit this church? What's the name of the church? And is there a website or any kind of other information?
You would ask me that. I didn't have that information readily available. But if they ever wanted to look it up online and come visit, it's Elm Street Community Church, and that's in Fitchburg. That's Fitchburg, Fitchburg, Massachusetts. And it's... Well, that they should be able to find it from that. We are on YouTube. You'll recognize our logo as a light bulb with a cross inside as the filaments. All the services are live streamed, and then they are archived. So if you want to hear me preach, even you can go to that to YouTube. Go to their page, and you can I guess what do you call it their channel, and you can. You have to know which sermons I've preached to find me, though, because they just go by the dates and the titles. So, but if anybody wanted to visit, they can contact me, buzzwords422@gmail.com.
And what's the name of the church again?
Elm Street Community Church.
Okay, well, I have the website right here. If anybody wants to look up, and I see the logo that you were just describing, the light bulb with the cross in it. ElmSTCC.org. ElmST for street, CC for community church.org. ElmSTCC.org. Well, tell us about this long awaited book that has been in the works for a number of years on eschatology that you have titled God's Lawsuit. And perhaps you can remind me of the subtitle and tell us about the stage of the publishing process that you're currently in.
This work started actually many, many years ago when some friends of mine were talking about going into the ministry, and I had been studying eschatology from a post-millennial and preterist standpoint for a number of years at that time. And before they went into ministry, I wanted to at least inform him so he had the opportunity of, if I may say so myself, getting it correct. And I met with them once a week, but it caused me to formulate my thinking into outlines to organize my thoughts for them. And then it gradually grew. I started teaching a Sunday school class at a church I was attending at that time up in Maine. And it grew from that. Then I pastored a church, and I did 14 lectures on Bible prophecy. And I stopped simply because there was enough Bible prophecy for them. But there was a lot more that could have been said. Since then, I have taken those lectures and expanded them even more. And I finally realized, okay, I need to put this in book form. I want something that's going to last longer than me. Plus, I want to have something in people's hands. I get into, you can imagine, I get into discussions all the time with people about Bible prophecy. And they come up with, you know, I say this, they say that. They come up with all kinds of reasons why what I said couldn't be true, and I don't even have a I say so many times, sound bites don't work well in theology. You got to get the whole picture. So here's something, hopefully, that I'll be able to just put in their hands to say, read this, and then later on we'll discuss it after they've been exposed to it, because most people have not been exposed to it. My life was radically changed when I learned the difference in eschatology. And one of your frequent guests on Iron Sharpens Iron used to say, Joe Moorcraft, I quote him in my book because he mentioned that eschatology is usually a discipline that's thrown at the end of most systematic theologies. But in actuality, it is the warp and woof of all theology. And I found this to be so true that when I started to change my views of eschatology, all of a sudden my interpretation of all of Scripture was changing. I understood Israel a lot better. A lot of the parables, a lot of passages in the Bible suddenly had a reason to exist, and they made sense with each other. And it was just amazing how it all, and I say so often, the Bible interprets the Bible, and that's what I'm trying to show. Fortunately, I joined an organization while I was still down there just before COVID hit in Pennsylvania. I was part of an organization for nonfiction writers. And I heard one of their sessions, at one of their sessions, they told me, keep your title short and catchy. Well, you know how it is, Chris. You read a lot of Puritan stuff. You tend to get long titles. So I had a long title. The title was Bible Prophecy Like You've Never Heard It Before, .. but should have. And I was told it was too long. You need something catchy. So I'm thinking, and I said, how about God's lawsuit? And the woman running the meeting said, I hope you end up using that one. I said, well, I'll tell you what, I will. Why God's lawsuit? Because the book of Revelation is actually John writing as a prophet the legal lawsuit, the covenant lawsuit against first century Christ rejecting Israel. So many interpret it today as a historical narrative written ahead of time, but it is far from that. It's a covenant document showing the failures of Israel and why God is justified in what he actually accomplished by the year AD 70 in wiping out Judaism as we've known it for thousands of years before that. No more temple, no more Jerusalem, and that's the way it was after that. So that's basically what the book is about. And you asked me about when it's going to be out. That's a tough one. It's right now with three different proofreaders. I'm happy to say I finally finished writing it, although I have to admit I'm constantly tweaking things here and there and trying to put in more up-to-date examples and things. But it's with three proofreaders, and as soon as I'm done with them, I will be contacting a publisher that I've already contacted before, but there may be others that I will check first. So I'm not going to disclose the name just yet, but I hope this year that it will be published and available.
And just to clarify, you are a postmillennial partial preterist theonomist. Am I correct?
Yes. Thank you for mentioning partial.
Yes.
Because there's been some controversy over that. In fact, on my blog, I responded to an article that a fellow had written online that basically accused me using the arguments of the full preterist, which I am not. He didn't know the difference between full and partial preterists. As a partial preterist, what I believe is that many of the scripture texts that we use to prove that Jesus is coming soon are actually written about and therefore were fulfilled by the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. But there are still other scriptures that have not been fulfilled yet. There's still prophecy out there that's going to happen, but primarily with the Olivet Discourse and 2 Peter 3 and so forth, those are about the destruction of Jerusalem. And of course, that's what my book is about. I'm presenting my burden of proof.
And I'm sure you agree with me that anybody that is passionate about their eschatological views, excited over them, have to be very careful not to alienate brothers in Christ who differ in those views, especially when they are biblically debatable. They're within the realm of what has been historically accepted. Premillennialism, amillennialism. We have to be careful not to declare people with differing views as heretics and not as brethren at all, other than such folks as are in the hyper-preterist movement, which is going way too far.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, yes, because, of course, there's always going to be all kinds of accusations about that, but like David Ramsey once said on his program, never confuse extreme confidence with arrogance. Well, when you discuss these with people, it's an important issue, but it is not an essential issue. And we need to understand that we should not divide the body of Christ over these things. We should be able to sit in a congregation and worship Jesus Christ together, no matter what our eschatological, I can't even say the word. I'm just bragging about it. Now Chris remembers when I was in radio and had trouble saying certain words.
community was one of them.
But yes, these are not issues to divide over. But as I say that, people will divide over that. And it's unfortunate because it is not an essential of the faith. It has nothing to do with the virgin birth, the deity of Christ, the authority of Scripture. In fact, it is because I believe in the authority of Scripture that I changed my views to post-millennialism. I was forced by the Scriptures to do so. And, of course, everybody says that, so I realize that.
And, of course, the gospel itself is not violated by holding to any of the major historical views.
Exactly.
And by the way, if you do not want to get into a eschatological debate or argument, I would advise everyone listening to stay as far away from Buzz Taylor as you possibly can, because he will find a way to bring that up in conversation, no matter who you are.
Well, yes.
You could be a teller at a bank. You could be behind the desk at a post office.
When I say it's not an essential doctrine, that does not in any way insinuate that I mean it's not an important doctrine, because like I said, I found that it affected my interpretation of many, many other scripture passages that I had wrong because they were eschatological and I didn't realize it, or the opposite. Many of the passages that we think are eschatological actually are not, but they are history now.
And they can, your eschatological view can affect either positively or negatively the very way that you declare the gospel, the manner with which you approach lost people, the way you live. I mean, I'm not a postmillennialist, at least not yet, but I know one of the things that has grieved me most about the way that many dispensationalists evangelize the lost, they will not warn them about hell. And they will not offer the joyful hope of being with Christ for eternity in glory. They will warn people about not being caught up in the rapture and spending the tribulation on earth. And offer them the wonderful hope of being caught up in the rapture. Those are not the things that we should be emphasizing when evangelizing lost people.
Well, Jesus said in Matthew 24, when you see these things, do not be alarmed. And yet, preachers all over North America are using these very things to alarm people in hopes that they're going to come to Christ through that. I find the truth is very adequate for reaching people for Christ. They don't need to make up stuff for that.
Amen. Well, I want to make sure that everybody listening has the website for the church where you are frequently preaching. Once again, that's Elm Street Community Church. And the city is Fitchburg, Massachusetts.
Yes.
And that is F-I-T-C-H-B-U-R-G. And the website is ElmST for street, CC for community church.org. ElmSTCC.org. And Buzz, why don't you repeat your email address for anybody desiring to get in touch with you?
Buzzwords. Now, anybody who knows me knows that I spell Buzz with one Z, but everybody's computer corrected it, so I changed it. So it's BUZZWORDS. Buzzwords 422 at gmail.com.
So you can send your emails if you'd like to be put on a list to be updated on when God's Lawsuit, the book by Buzz Taylor, will be available. I want to thank you so much, Buzz, for filling in the last portion of our program today with very little notice. I look forward to you coming back to a full two-hour show. I want to thank everybody who listened. I want you all to have a very blessed, safe, happy, and healthy, and joyful weekend and Lord's Day. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.